The book of Psalms 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. The Lord spoke the earth into existence. The Lord spoke you into existence. The Lord spoke the fact that there are resources available in the earth so that you can make an income. He spoke that into existence. Everything that is on the earth is made by the Lord and for the Lord. It belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, whether He has entrusted to you money, talents, abilities, a spouse, children, whatever has been entrusted to you, you are to be a steward over what God has entrusted to you. And you're not to be a slothful steward, as we read in that story, but you are to do something with what has been given to you. And you are to do it well as though you're doing it unto the Lord. Everything is the Lord's. And so if He were to come back, would He say, wow, you have been faithful with what I have been given to you? Or you, what do you say? You have been very slothful. You have been very wasteful of the resources of my money that has been entrusted to you. How have you been handling God's money? What have you been doing with God's money? We're to be stewards over it, and we're to be faithful. Book of Philippians has a promise for those who are faithful stewards over what God has been given us. He promises to supply our every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And according to His riches, that means, hey, that far exceeds our riches. When we're talking about that, He will provide your every single need according to His riches. There are no limits to His riches. Our riches are limited. But He promises to provide for your every single need as long as you put Him first, right? Amen. And you're faithful in your giving. The second thing I want to give to you is be a generous giver. Be a generous giver. I want to give you three scriptures for this. The man Solomon, he was the wisest king that ever lived, and he wrote the book of Proverbs just full of wisdom, full of godly wisdom. He says this. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits, all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor the Lord first. Again, it's not winning the lottery first and then honoring the Lord. It's honoring the Lord first and then He will bless you and your barns will be filled with plenty. Paul also talks about this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. If you sow sparingly, if you sow little, then you're going to reap little. If you sow greatly, then you're going to reap greatly. It's a biblical principle. And the Lord would say, test me on this. Test me and see if I do not bless you. Test me on this. Tara and I are faithful givers, and because of that, we have seen God's blessing upon our lives. And so not just Solomon, not just Paul talked about this, but Jesus in the book of Luke would say, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you give, the measure will be measured back to you. Amen. And so the Bible talks about giving, but giving with a cheerful heart, as though you're honoring the Lord. So if you're giving grudgingly, like, I can't believe I got to give my money, just keep your money. The Lord doesn't want it, you know. Amen. Just keep it. Amen. But if you say, look, I want to honor the Lord with what He has done and for who He is in my life, and I just, as I'm giving this as a sign of thank you, Lord, and just in honoring you in my finances, that's the heart that God is wanting you to give with. Amen. And the next step I want to give to you guys, or the next principle I want to give to you guys, is set a budget. Set a budget. Now, I lost everybody in this room. Budgets are not fun, right? Because they require work. They require us to do something different than we've been doing up to this point. But if you want different results in your finances, then you have to do something different. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if you want something different in your finances, then you need to set a budget for your life. Now, while the word budget is not in the Bible, the concept of a budget is. If you look at the man named Joseph, you think back in Joseph. Joseph had interpreted some dreams for Pharaoh. And God, through these dreams, said, hey, look, there's coming 7 years of plenty. There's coming 7 years that everything that the land will produce and that you will produce enough to save for the 7 years that are coming afterwards, which will be 7 years of famine. All right, so now Joseph, during these 7 years of famine, he was in charge of distributing or budgeting the wheat that came out of the storehouse. All right, and so it would have been foolish for Joseph to have gone through all 7 years of grain within that first year. Would everybody agree? That would be very foolish. Why? Because then you have 6 years afterwards that you would be starving and the people would die. Joseph had to say, no, this is how much I have per year. This is it. I cannot go any more past that. That's all I have for this year. And then next year, this is all I have for this year. It has to last 7 years. The famine is going to be 7 years. Now, we all agree that it would be very foolish to burn through it all in 1 year. But how many times do we do the same thing? You get a paycheck and you have a certain amount that's going to last you from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. But by the end of the first week, you are out of money completely. I know this because I work here and I'm a pastor here and I hear stories like how you ain't got food at the end of the month because you acted foolishly with your money. This ain't a fun thing for me to talk about, but it's necessary. If you have a certain amount that has to last you all the month, then you need to budget accordingly. You need to set you some boundaries and say, no, I cannot spend that because I am on a budget. Make sense? If I spend more than what I have, then I'm going to put myself in a bind. I would even say not living within your means, but living beneath your means. Giving yourself some room for whenever things break. How many of you guys know that things break? Tires get flats. Water heaters go out. So if you're living within your means, if you're just staying within your means, then you're not making room for those unnecessary surprises that happen in our lives. You know, for me, I would love to go buy a brand new truck, you know, and the Chevys and the GMCs are looking really nice right now. And I probably could afford it. You know, honestly, if we're looking at our finances. But really and truly, we would not have much room for error. And so it would not allow me, if a water heater goes out or something goes out, there would not be any room for extra. And I would put myself in a bind. I would have this nice looking truck, but I wouldn't have any hot water at my house. My truck works fine. It's a 2007. I paid $2,500 in the shop to get it fixed. But guess what? That was still a whole lot cheaper than a $700 note for 72 months. You start doing the math, that is astronomical. You know, and then they have all these little shops where you can rent to own. Uh-oh. Get this 55-inch Samsung TV. You need it now. And you can get it with a low payment of $24.99 per week for 72 weeks. By the time you finish paying for this TV, you done paid $1,800 for a $529 TV that you can buy at Walmart. It's very true. I looked it up. I've seen it. You can go online and check it out for yourself. But they buy into the fact that, hey, look, you need this and you need it now. We're constantly bombarded with commercials and this idea that don't be content with what you have. You need more. You need more stuff to be fulfilled, and it's alive from the pit of hell. You don't need more stuff. Learning to be content with what the Lord has blessed us with. And you have all these places like Rent to Own who are making a fortune off of people who just gotta have it now. And then the next thing that we see about Joseph in the budgeting factor, so it's not just living within your means or living beneath your means, but saving. You should be saving something. You should be putting something in your savings account. Whether it's $100 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever it may be, you need to be saving. You know, we've been having government shutdowns and all this other foolishness going on. Now, let me just ask you a question. Would your family be all right if the government shut down completely and you were totally relying upon your savings? What if there was no welfare? What if there was no social security? Would you be okay? Or would you have to sell everything that you have? You know, whenever I lost that job, that good-paying job at North American Shipbuilding, we were okay because we had saved. Just as Joseph saved, whenever there's years of plenty, he saved for the hard times. It's a biblical principle. The next thing, keep out of debt. Be content. That is the next thing, the next biblical principle. Keep out of debt and be content. The scripture I want to give for you is Hebrews 13:5. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now here's the real issue of this. We go to things, we want things because we have this longing in our heart. We have this hole, this void in our life, and we think that that thing will fulfill us and that thing will sustain us. And it may for a moment. But what the scripture says in Hebrews, it says, be content because I will be with you. In other words, Jesus is the one who fills that void in our life. And if we have Jesus, then we don't need stuff. He is the one who says, I will be with you every step of the way. And because he is with us, I don't need that thing to feel accomplishment. I don't need that new thing to feel like I'm somebody. All I need is Jesus. Give me more of Jesus. Amen. And one last principle I want to give before you is work hard. Work hard. You go on your job, you work hard. This is for many reasons. If you're working hard, then that means you're not at the store spending money. Right? Because whenever you have so much time on your hands, guess what you tend to do? Oh, I'm going to the store. Guess what you wind up walking out with? Oh, you wind up spending $100 that you really did not want to spend. So if you're working hard, you're not spending your money. But at the same time, if you're working hard, you're proving to your employer that you are valuable and that you are worth more of the compensation that you are currently getting. And so that could possibly mean for you more money. If the employer says, hey, look, you are doing such a good job, you're working so hard, I'm going to reward you for your hard work. And if he doesn't do it, know that God is faithful and he will bring you to a place where you will be compensated for your hard work. These principles, well, I want to give a scripture for that. In the book of Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all toil there is a profit, but mere talk ends only in poverty. If you only talk while you're on your job, if you only talk about working, or if you only talk about it, says it leads to poverty. But if you work hard and say, God, I'm going to work, and every single day that I go to work, I'm going to work as though I'm working unto you. Because that's what the Bible instructs us to do. You are a representation of the kingdom of God whenever you step on that job. So whenever you're slothful in your work, whenever you're being lazy, you're doing the the bare minimum, then that looks bad on Christians. That looks bad on the God that we serve. If they're looking at your life and saying, if that's what a Christian looks like, I don't want any part of it. You need to evaluate whether you've been working and working as though you're working unto the Lord. Work hard. Just embrace it. The job that God has given you, embrace it. Whatever that may be. Amen? I know I've been hard on you guys. But I know that this, if you apply these biblical principles to your life, if you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be resolute, I'm going to make a change in my finances, then this is what it's going to take. Amen. Look, I believe that God can do it. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. Amen. He loves you all the same. I'm going to believe with you in prayer that God is going to do something great in your finances, but you're going to have to be resolute, and you're going to have to follow out these steps, and you're going to have to get yourself out of debt, and you're going to have to stop the overspending. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is a two-edged sword. It cuts sometimes, Lord God. It doesn't feel good. But Lord, we know that if we apply these principles into our lives, God, that you will begin to do something new and so great, Lord God, that only you can get the glory for. So, Lord, today, we repent, first of all, Lord God, if we have not stewarded your money good. Lord God, if we have been a slothful steward, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord God, for our overspending. Forgive us, Lord God, for being foolish with your money. I pray that you would help each and every person that's in this place today, Lord, just to make better decisions. Lord, that they would say, Lord, this money that you have given me is really yours. Help me to steward it well. If that's you today, I wasn't going to, but I feel that the Lord is wanting you to make a bold statement, and I want you to stand to your feet. If you're dealing with financial situations, if you're saying, you know what, this year I'm going to be resolute in my finances. I'm going to do something different in my finances. I'm tired of the banks owning me. I'm tired of being a slave to interest rates. I'm tired of being a slave to financial debt. I want to be free in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. We're just going to pray and believe God for you. God, I pray for each and every person that's standing right now and say, God, I want to do things your way. I want to live by your principles, oh God. I want to be debt free. I want to be able to give generously, Lord God. I pray for your people. I pray that you would help them to make right choices, oh Lord. Lord, that you would give them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict them, Lord, whenever they try or attempt to make any foolish purchases. I pray, Lord God, that they will be generous, that they will look at their money as your money. Lord, that they will set a budget in their lives. Lord, that they will stay away from debt, that they will be content with the things that you have blessed them with, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. And right now, we just rebuke the devourer. The enemy that would try to destroy your finances, I rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus off of your lives. And I declare freedom, financial freedom, to every single person that's in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Your stronghold is broken right now. You have no place in us. We will be content. We will live according to the word of God, and we will not fall into the trap of the enemy anymore. From this day forward, we decide we're going to be resolute in our finances and that we're going to do everything that God has intended for us to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, for your word, Lord God, that has come forth into our lives. Help us to take this and to run with it, oh God, in Jesus' name.
I just want to say one thing, because he talked about me in my sermon, but I've never met someone that has changed who they were so instantaneously. And I want to say it's because I'm a good catch, but and it may be true, but I want to say he just, you know, the principles he taught, he just resolutely in March, by August we're married, he had changed who he was. You can change who you are in Jesus' name, and you can change your finances. It will take work, and it will take a time frame, but I'm going to say that you can do it. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to write those goals down, some financial goals, at the welcome desk. We have those goals for you. We love you. See you Wednesday. Sign your kids up to D now. Go and set some